Thank you. Thank you, Elaine, for that introduction. And I'd like to thank Ali for putting together one of the most beautiful conferences I've ever been to. Thank you. Thank you to everybody at Columbia, the Middle East Institute, the Ibn Arabi Society, and everybody that worked hard to put this conference together. So I guess I have to kind of lean in. Last night at the Qawwali concert, we heard the Qawwal say, and I'm relying on the translation of a friend here, but my understanding is he said that in math, 2 + 2 = 4, but in love, 2 + 2 = 1. So my talk today is about this epistemological problematic, right? The difference between knowledge that we can gain logically through, let's say, math, or in the historical tradition through philosophy, such as the knowledge that 2 + 2 = 4. And then on the other hand, the knowledge that we can gain experientially through tasting, through visionary experience. And is it possible to reconcile these two forms of knowledge? And how do these two different paths to knowledge understand reality, or constitutes reality? Is the world constituted of a multiplicity of things, as the dictates of logic and reason would tell us, or is the world constituted by a unity, as might be unveiled to us in a visionary experience? So more specifically, this talk addresses the attempt among later interpreters of Ibn Arabi, so not Ibn Arabi himself, but later interpreters, to translate his visionary system and comprehension of reality and unity into the language of the Arabic Aristotelian or peripatetic tradition. In doing so, such interpreters attempt to render Ayan into Burhan, meaning they attempt to render Ayan, a visionary experience, into Burhan, apodictic proof. So in this talk, I'm going to look at three figures. How do I change the slide? Yes, just click this one. Okay, so Dawood al-Qaisri, an early Ottoman interpreter of Ibn Arabi, and then who attempted to systematize Ibn Arabi's vision of reality into a metaphysical system defended philosophically. Okay. And then the second figure, Sa'd ad-Din al-Taftazani, who was a Timurid theologian and critic of the attempt to put Sufi experience into philosophical proofs. And then thirdly, Shamsuddin al-Fanari, who was another Ottoman Sufi and the first Ottoman Sheikh al-Islam, the highest religious position in the Ottoman Empire, who responded to the critiques of Taftazani. So I'm going to start by looking briefly at three quotes from Qaisri, the first guy on the list, to give just a brief overview of how he tried to express the unity of being in philosophical language. Qaisri identifies being itself, right, existence itself or being itself, with a capital B or uppercase B, with the necessary being, right? The necessary being what the philosophers called God, right? So he thought that God is being. Okay. And he tells us that there is nothing, right? Nothing actually exists except this being with a capital B, and that being itself has no instantifications or entifications that are separate from being with a capital B. Okay, so the first quote, I'll just read out the bits that are in bold. It says, in reality, there is nothing in being except it, right? So there's only really one being. Then second quote, again, I'll just read out the bits in bold. The supposition that the contingent ceases arises from the idea that being has individuals, such as external individuals of human being. This is not the case, Since being is a single reality that possesses no multiplicity, while its individuations are conceived only in their relation to quiddities. Okay, so again, here the idea that there is only one reality to being, and that the multiplicity that we see, all the different things we see, or let's say like individual human beings or individual things, are only individuations or entifications that they could be said to have relational being, but they don't have being that is separate from the one being. And then the last quote here again, only reading in bold. So it is clear that being qua being is identical with the relative being in reality. Otherwise, they would not have being necessarily. One who opposes this conclusion goes against the dictates of his own intellect. Okay, so here, saying that, you know, relative being is a type of being, but it is identical with being itself. Okay, so this is an attempt to express idea of unity of being. And the last part that's in bold is saying that, you know, if you oppose this, you're actually going against the dictates of your intellect. So he does think it's something that can be proven philosophically. Now, Taftazani, okay, we'll come to, what do I, no, okay. Taftazani, second figure. I've looked elsewhere in a publication at Taftazani's refutation of Paisley's metaphysics. So all of the philosophical arguments he uses to say why Paisley is definitely wrong. But today I want to talk about a different passage in Taftazani, so not something that I've already written about, where Taftazani contrasts two different schools, right, and their claims that nothing exists but God, except that one of these schools claims that, you know, there is nothing in existence except God through the path of Aryan, through the path of visionary experience, and the other school attempts to do so through Burhan, through rational proof. So I'm going to put a long Arabic quote on the screen, and I'm only translating small parts of it, but I'm putting the whole of the Arabic on there for those who are interested. And I'm going to go through little bits of it one by one. Okay, so he says, annihilation is when one is absent from all except him and sees nothing in being except God. Okay, so that corresponds to the first bit of bold in Arabic. So here he's describing what he calls the first madhab, the first school that sees nothing in being except God. Okay, but they do so through this state of annihilation. So they're in a visionary state, right, and they see nothing except God. And then he goes on to explain how when you're in that state, you can make ecstatic utterances. Right? And he says that these are due to an incapacity to express an explanation of that state, for you're unable to unveil it through language. Right? So here, he's expressing, when you're in this state, you're expressing this type of unity, there is nothing except God, God is the only being, but that's only because language is unable to encapsulate or fully explain the state that you're in. And then he says that we recognize that the path of annihilation is vision. Okay, so he uses this Arabic word, Aryan, and not apodictic proof. Okay, so this experience, this vision of there being nothing except God is through this state of annihilation that is based on visionary experience, right? Not proof, not apodictic proof, not philosophical proof. And then he goes on to say, well, the second school that attempts to explain there is nothing in existence except God, they do so through apodictic proof. And this is the school he associates with the interpreters of Ibn Arabi, primarily Qaisri, also Kashani. I've talked about that elsewhere, and that he elsewhere in the same text, he has a long refutation of the views that we saw Kayseri express. But he concludes just in this passage by saying, you know, those guys over there who are trying to use Burhan, who are trying to use proof to explain the unity of being, he calls them the pseudo-philosophers, again, in a different text, or he calls them mutafalsifa. The pseudo-philosophers talk about this as lengthy, right? So this idea that the lengthy talk is kind of in contrast to what he was saying about the Sufi experience where, you know, words are just not able to explain it. So, but in contrast, these pseudo-philosophers, they talk at length, and what they say is outside the path of the intellect and the law. So it's not actually something that can be proven through the intellect, and it goes beyond the bounds of the law. So although he sees the path of Sufi annihilation and the metaphysics of Ibn Arabi's interpreters as talk about unity, he makes an important distinction between them and the... He's making this important distinction between these two ways of seeing unity. And he recognizes the validity and indeed the praiseworthiness. If you see the Arabic, he is quoting a hadith, right? Saying it's praiseworthy to experience this divine unity that abolishes multiplicity, but this practical and visionary Sufi path cannot be combined or explained through in words or in proof, let alone rationally demonstrated. The project of theoretical philosophical Sufism is thus fundamentally flawed, according to Kafkazani, because it seeks to intermingle two realms of human knowledge that cannot be joined together, the experiential, ineffable knowledge and the apodictic, rational knowledge. Taftazani understands that the interpreters of Ibn Arabi are not pantheists, but his contention is that they should not try to rationally articulate or philosophically explain an experience of annihilation in divine unity. Such things are indeed better left out of books. And this view, I think, foreshadows the now common Sufi distinction between the knowledge of tastes and the knowledge of papers, right? Ilm al-adwaq and ilm al-awraq. So I'm now just going to have a quick final look at Fanari, another Ottoman Sufi commentator on Ibn Arabi who responds at length to Taftazani. So Taftazani wrote a long, like line-by-line refutation of Taftazani's critiques of Qaisri and Kashani. Yet he too is well aware of the problems between the two different paths to knowledge. He tells us that when theoretical investigation, right, the path of philosophy, and visionary experience disagree, that the experience of the heart safeguards purity, whereas theoretical explanation only cloaks you in disgrace. So here, this translation is just from the bit that's underlined. He says, if there is a difference between the theoretical explanation and the tasted visionary explanation, then in the case of that which is through the attentiveness of the heart, taken as unveiling without self-exertion and in a pure place without contamination, one will arrive at the goal or at knowledge, remaining in his original pure state. And in the case of that which is through attentiveness of thought, taken from behind the veil of human thought, through self-exertion and in an impure place, one will arrive dressed with contamination and disfigurement. He then continues after this passage to list the 10 problems in Taftazani's refutation. So he does actually respond logically and philosophically to everything Taftazani has to say. But he ultimately concludes that according to the most complete verification, we can only take a whiff of knowing the true reality after annihilation, when the knower, the known, and the knowledge are one. So both Taftazani and Fanari recognize the epistemological problematic of logical proofs versus visionary experience in our knowledge of reality. Teftezani's solution is to separate out between the two different domains of knowledge, each with their own spheres, discourse, and expression. Zanardi, on the other hand, assumes the absolute, unlimited truth of the visionary experience of unity, and is happy to use logical proofs to prove it, yet, as he recognizes, there will always be disagreements in logical and philosophical thinking, right? With such a path only leading to disfigurement. And so ultimately, Zanardi too is forced to separate between the two paths of knowledge. While Teftezani's detractors can tell him that he has limited and closed off the domain of visionary knowledge, Zanardi's detractors too could critique him for assuming the premise of his conclusion before proving it logically, almost like a circular argument or begging the question. One more sentence. Such a dichotomy, however, between the two sources of knowledge is not to be found in the texts that we have read, which instead try to bridge these two paths. The problematic, nevertheless, remains. Thank you.